How's it going, folks? This is Austin Williams, and you're listening to Relevant Tones. Today, we are speaking with Ellery Saxel, a wonderful composer and producer and sound artist. I had the pleasure to talk with them about their recent album that features just a really lovely range of works. I have to give it to Ellery for cold calling us, just dropping an email asking if we wanted their work to be on the show. And of course we did. And here we are. So we found that we had a lovely connection and commonality between our love for the North Woods and the naturist aspect of it, whether it be beautiful or kind of terrifying in its power, specifically talking about Lake Superior along the Minnesota coast there. So, but you'll hear about that more in the interview. I just wanted to thank Ellery again for reaching out to us. It was truly a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope we had some. I hope you found that we had some lovely conversations. So, without further rambling, let's get on with the interview. I hope you enjoy.
Thanks for coming on the show and taking the time to speak with us. You got some really cool projects going on right now, so I was pretty stoked when you reached out to us. And good job at self-advocating. I feel like a lot of artists we do advocate for ourselves. But you know, cold calling a bunch of folks can be tedious and kind of scary. So thanks for reaching out.
Yeah.
I was really attracted to your project that you presented to us, given that I've grown up in Minnesota and close enough. I grew up in the Twin Cities area, but you know, growing up visiting Lake Superior and having those memories, and it's always really cool to see other people who are like attracted to that area because it is really unique and beautiful. So I was hoping you could maybe talk about your experience there and maybe your relationship to Lake Superior and maybe the Great Lakes and North Woods, North Coast in general.
So I also grew up in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Stillwater. So I grew up in Stillwater. Nice. Yeah. But I spent a lot of time in St. Paul area, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I grew up in Minneapolis, and my family has a cabin on Madeline Island, which is in the Apostle Islands. And so I grew up between there and Minneapolis, and about maybe 10, 15 years ago, started spending winters on the island.
Oh, cool.
And, thought I would sort of like slowly expand how much time I was spending there, but ended up, by total coincidence, moving there full time about a month before the pandemic lockdown started, and then ended up spending the next 3 years there straight.
Yep.
And now I'm sort of back to splitting time between New York and the island.
Okay.
But it's very much home for me, more so than anywhere else. And it's such a special place, and I feel like if I go too long without being there, I'd start to like lose it a little bit, like start to feel a little crazy. And I think like the Lake Superior in particular, it's just like, I crave it almost like it's a person or like it's like a lover or something for me.
Yeah. There's like there's kind of like a mysticism about it, I think.
Definitely.
I grew up hiking along the Superior hiking trail and camping in that area. And I always felt, I don't know, it's a really unique connection that you start to build with that area. And I think a large part of it is you're like in these like really dense woods, and then all of a sudden you're in this clearing and you look out and then there's just like this freshwater sea, you know, at the bottom of a bunch of rocks, and you don't really expect it. And so it does kind of come across as somewhat magical or, you know, unassuming, I guess maybe is a better way to put it.
Yeah, I think there's something just about the scale, this like the sense that you really do feel small and like there's kind of like a never ending vastness to it. And yeah, I think there's so few places and fewer places now that you can go and feel nature as like something so much bigger than yourself. Like so many places now, like you don't really feel like you're in a, like in wilderness or you sense that like humans' imprint is there and sculpting it in some way.
Sure.
And there's something so spiritually important about feeling like nature is bigger than you. And yeah, that feels like one of the few places where I still get that sense that like,
totally.
Yeah. That I'm small.
So let's maybe transition and talk about your connection to the music that you wrote and to the North Woods and how that all came about. I don't know if you want to talk about individual tracks or the album as a whole. You said that it was quite a process, you know, through and through making it.
Yeah, I started the first piece on this album, which is called Drifts 2. That piece I started working on in 2018. Mm-hmm. And that was commissioned by a group in New York called Teague. That's a percussion trio, some really good friends of mine. And we spent the year workshopping the piece together and talking about ideas and, you know, I put a score together and they performed it. Yeah. And so that all happened by like 2019. And then basically from then until now, I've been working on it. Yeah. It's like, I think, so when I first started on that one, before we even started working together, I just went and recorded one of the people, Matt Evans, one of the members, just playing. I had this idea that I wanted to do some digital processing of a snare drum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were sharing a practice space at the time in Red Hook, Brooklyn. And I recorded him just sort of like messing around on this snare drum through a contact mic.
Mm-hmm.
Had him do like closed roll, open roll, snare open, snare closed. He has like a crazy way of playing with all these like ornamentations. I tried that, like just got everything I could over like an hour, and then took that and ended up building like these demos from that tiny little recording. And for me, it was just a way, like I like to make things by just like endlessly experimenting and messing around by myself before I like start wasting other people's time. So I was just like messing with this until I had this full demo. And from there ended up like notating that to give to them. And then their performance was sort of like a recreation of that.
Yeah.
So they did this piece that ended up involving like steel pipes that we had cut to different pitches and rocks they were dropping rhythmically into a bowl that was changing pitches. Rocks got added and all this stuff. And then halfway through it kind of transitioned to these snare drums that start getting processed. And I think as a live performance, I was happy with it. I think there was like visually things that were interesting that were going on stage. And we ended up recording that version. But then, I don't know, as time went on, I just felt like just putting it on in headphones, there was just something that it wasn't feeling as impactful. And the first half of that, I would always sort of like find myself like tensing. And then when I got to the snare drums, I would like relax. And
sure.
So, for like a few years, I was like unclear what to do with this piece, feeling like there was like something that wasn't quite working for me, but I didn't know what.
Thank you.
completely scrapping all of the live recording we had done and went back to actually the original demo that I had made with these like super sort of like crappy original recordings that we'd done in like an hour in 2018, and just like really leaning into that it was sample based and that it was more like a electronic music composition versus like the sort of live percussion thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, after like all of that and went back to the original demo and had these two pieces for Drifts 1 and Drifts 2.
Yeah.
And then the final sort of like part of that whole process was in the mixing stage. I worked with a good friend of mine named Zubin Hensler, and I had already spent a long time, you know, producing certain sounds, but I told him like, I want to push everything farther and like make it feel like everything is like deteriorating under some sort of like the feeling that we have when we are using the internet and we're on Zoom and things are starting to like crumble, pixelate, deteriorate. I wanted to like make the sounds feel that way. And so we started like basically just like breaking stems up and sending them through like all these different forms of distortion and compression and saturation and broken tape machines and like all these different things, and just like going pretty hard on the experimentation to figure out like what I was thinking about, and like really trying to figure out like what is distortion and what's deterioration and what causes this sense we have, like what's happening, the sensation we have when we're looking at a pixelated image, like what causes that and how can we recreate that through audio. So it ended up being like a 5-year journey to get to the final thing, but yeah, that's the journey on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because in the original email, you described it as process percussion, and then when I went to go listen to it, I like had to make sure I was listening to the right tracks, because I was like, I was like, wait, this is percussion. And then, but yeah, no, it's really interesting how you really kind of remove the impression of percussion from it, and you're using that and really molding it, you know, to how you want it to be.
Yeah, and so like I forgot to mention both of those two pieces, Drifts 1 and Drifts 2, use the same 10-second sample of Matt Evans playing this snare drum.
Okay.
But they're processed through different sampling techniques.
Sure.
So it's almost like they're like two sides of, two different sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all from a microphone recording someone playing a snare drum.
That's super cool. It's super informative too. I wouldn't have guessed that's the source material, but...
figuring out the differences between distortion and deterioration.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's like a really, I mean, from like a not to get nerdy about it. I mean, obviously there are like different things from like a processing standpoint. Like distortion is, you know, you're multiplying a signal to the point of, you know, adding color, and deteriorating, you're, you know, I guess that's maybe a broader way, or there are many ways that you can like damage an audio clip, quote unquote, and kind of get some interesting sounds that way. But how we perceive that aurally is maybe not always, they can sound similar, you know, they can sound very, so really like, what is the difference? You know, is a really interesting question.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think like where we landed, and yeah, I feel like it was such an interesting process for me to like develop a framework to understand what I'm going for, with,
yeah,
you know, with stuff moving forward. But like distortion was about harmonic information, and yeah, deterioration was more about like removing parts of the audio, like almost like cutting holes in it, there being parts, yeah, that start to be missing. Mm-hmm. And there was this interesting thing where like I kept thinking I wanted things to be distorted, but then we would distort it and it would feel like there was separation between the original sound and then this sort of like fuzzy thing on top.
Yeah,
kept reminding me of like you know, just like an electric guitar. And I was like, that's not the thing. Like, I want it to feel almost like it's vibrating or pulsing.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is really weird how, like, I think I have even since then realized that a lot of what I was thinking about was like almost like tremolo of air, like things, sure, going between left and right, giving the impression of some sort of pixelation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other, like, I don't know how deep you want to go, but the other thing that ended up like really giving me the sound I wanted was I put on the master bus this plugin that's often used on vocals, especially in pop, that called Gem Dopamine, which like sort of like adds air. Mm. And that was like ended up giving me this, like, I'm like incredibly sensitive to brightness and I didn't want things to be super bright, but I wanted there to be the sense of air and, mm-hmm, and like a almost like brushy sensation, like a tactile sensation to the snare drum,
yeah,
sound. And so this like, yeah, pop vocal plugin ended up like sort of being the last touch that helped get there.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I know it's, you know, on that topic, I know a lot of people currently using like EDM processing software for their, you know, signal processing just because it works and it sounds great. So, yeah, you know, whatever gets the job done, you know. And I think that's so cool, though. You know, yeah, we're truly in a time of, you know, you can throw everything at it and see what you like. And it doesn't, yeah, really matter where it's coming from. So, thank you. So at what point in the project did you, or process, did you kind of start to have these images of Lake Superior, Northwoods? What started making that connection for you?
I guess from the very beginning of the pieces, that idea and inspiration was there. I've been living there, and so
yeah,
that influences just my everyday experience. And I wanted to make some work that was like really explicitly trying to investigate or explore what it feels like to live next to the lake. And I think there was like a couple parts to that felt really resonant and rich for me. The first part was like, I think, like as we sort of touched on earlier, like the lake is so big and it's so cold that most of the year you'll freeze to death in a few minutes if you're in there unprepared. Mm-hmm. And the waves can get, you know, to be like 15 feet. And if you go out in a boat and get far enough from shore that you can't see anymore, and it tends, especially if it's like foggy, which it often is, mm-hmm. you lose all sense of direction, not just east and west, but like even up and down. And you sort of just like lose the horizon and lose all sense of yourself. Wow. And
yeah,
there's just a sense there that that like, yes, nature is really beautiful and magical, but it's also really dark and powerful and mm-hmm. doesn't care about you and can subsume you. And I think there's a lot of music right now, instrumental music being made about the magical, like sparkly qualities of nature. And my experience growing up in this northern part of the country near Lake Superior is like, that is not what it feels like. It's it feels much more akin to like maybe how black metal is talking about nature, where it's just like a very dark, powerful force. So that was like one part that I was really interested in exploring. And the second part was thinking about sort of these intersections between my experience there and simultaneously my experience with technology right now.
Yeah.
Especially I was working on a lot of this music during the pandemic, and life online just like accelerated so fast during that time.
Right.
And
right.
All interaction was over Zoom, and it just felt like, everything was through this technological infrastructure that was starting to shape how I was also experiencing life in the physical world. And so I was really interested in like, sort of these like parallels between water droplets forming waves with like data points forming data clouds of all of our information, or also like fog sort of as parallel to pixelation and this like blizzardy, snowy blur that I was experiencing when I'd go outside in the winter to this deteriorating digital image that I was like, every interaction with people I was having at the time felt like.
Yeah. And that's a pretty jarring juxtaposition between living life online and then having the brutal nature of Lake Superior and what it's like to live up there, literally at your doorstep.
I think like this idea of there being a spirituality to being in nature for me is so much about a sense of there being something that is so much bigger than me, which is how I feel when I'm in these types of wildernesses. And I think is the same language a lot of people use to talk about like a higher power, you know? And
yeah,
there's so much like sadness and loss for me that in that idea of nature is diminishing and is so hard to find anymore. And so I think like part of feeling like when you go out in this area that you could just like die is mm-hmm. also a really, in some very like deep way, there's actually a comfort to that, that there's something that is bigger than you, and that, yeah, it just helps put the human problems into perspective.
Well, it's things that are out of your control as well. So relinquishing some of that control back into the world is cathartic in some way, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Totally. The one aspect that I guess we haven't talked about is on the last track with the Barry saxophone. It's kind of a departure from the rest of the album. So maybe do you want to talk about how you feel that relates back to the other two tracks that are obviously very closely related to each other?
Yeah. So the last track, Surfaces, was commissioned by the Guggenheim Museum as part of a exhibition that they were doing on a painter named Alex Katz. So it definitely was coming from a different place.
Yeah.
And I wrote it specifically to be played in this gallery with these three paintings by him.
Cool.
And it was like, something that you can listen to when you go into that gallery. And so I was trying to make something that would accompany those pieces, but not those paintings, but not distract or take up space, like that left enough space that a viewer could still have their own emotional experience with it, that I wasn't dictating.
Sure.
But I think the reason why I chose to put these two different pieces together onto an album was that the painter Alex Cass, a lot of his work is dealing with the surfaces of things instead. And so he's painting both things in nature, like light reflecting off of a lake, and also the faces of people at a party that he's seeing across the room and just taking in one fleeting glance. And his work is really focused on trying to understand just the surface appearance of something and not trying to go any deeper than that, but trying to sort of like through that highlight the importance of this one fleeting moment.
Yeah.
And in a way it felt like that was sort of like the opposite side of this coin that I was exploring with Drifts. And so I wanted to put them on this album together that is like Drifts on one side, like on the vinyl, it's Drifts on one side and Surfaces on the other. Sort of like try to like, I think for me, a lot of my experience with technology is creating a lot of anxiety. I think that the way that I am constantly rooting and finding comfort is by being in physical community with other people and being very physically present in space and like in a place. And so I think,
well, thank you so much for your time. It was really great having you on here. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, obviously good luck on all your other stuff you got going on.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
It's like just like rooting in presence with other people.
Yeah, totally. That's beautiful. That's great. I was just curious about the connection to it, but that totally makes sense. And it's nice to have, you know, obviously some variety within an album. So, but it's, you know, top to bottom, very lovely stuff. You know, I really enjoyed listening to it. I hope you all enjoyed my conversation with Ellery. I know I did, and had some lovely, fantastic, maybe a little heady at sometimes conversations about sound design and production. But I think that's just what happens when you get a couple of music production nerds in a conversation with one another. So hope that meant something to some of you. I just felt a really strong connection to their work, especially with it being connected to the North Woods, which is something that I feel like I'm strongly connected to in more than one way. And it's good to have something that's kind of grounded in that. So, and I hope that maybe some other folks out there feel similar, or maybe you learned something new or have a newfound interest in the beautiful North Woods, or as we described, sometimes there's a danger in it as well. So on that note, this is your reminder that Relevant Tones is a product of Access Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks.